When San Tan woke, Lothar was standing at the foot of a cot. The dawn was lighting the canvas of the tent behind him, so he was in dark silhouette only.
"It's a boy," he told her. "You have a son."
"No," she croaked. "Not mine. Is yours." A son, she thought. A boy, part of me, part of my body, blood of my blood.
"His hair will be gold," Lothar said. "I didn't want to know. That was our bargain."
"So his hair will burn in the sunlight," she thought, "and will be as beautiful as his father?"
"His name is Manfred, after my firstborn."
"Call him what you will," she whispered, "and take him far away from me. Manfred, my son," and she felt her heart breaking, tearing like silk in her chest.
"He is at the nurse's breast now. She can bring him to you, if you wish to see him."
"Never. I never want to see him. That was our bargain. Take him away."
And her swollen, untapped breasts ached to give suck to her golden-headed son.
"Very well."
He waited for a minute for her to speak again, but she turned her face away from him. "Sister Emiliana will take him with her. They are ready to leave for Windhoek immediately. Tell her to go, and let her take your bastard with her." The light was behind him, so she could not see his face. He turned and left the tent, and minutes later she heard the motor of the truck as it started and then dwindled away across the plain. She lay in the quiet tent, watching the sunrise through the green canvas of the wall. She breathed the flinty desert air that she loved, but it was tainted by the sweet odour of blood, the birth blood of her son. Or was it the blood of a little old San woman clotting and congealing in the hot Kalahari sun? The image of Hani's blood on the rocks changed in her mind's eye and became dark, seething puddles of boiling honey running like water from the sacred places of the San, and the choking, sugary smoke blotted out the smell of blood. Through the smoke she thought she saw Hani's little heart-shaped face peering sadly out at her.
"For the child," she whispered, "for Shasa."
And the face faded, and she saw her firstborn son in its place.
"Shasa, my baby, may you always find good water."
But his image smudged also, and his dark hair turned to gold.
"You too, my little one. I wish you good water also."
But it was Lothar's face now. Or was it Michael's face? She was no longer certain.
"I am so alone," she cried into the silent spaces of her soul, "and I don't want to be alone."
Then she remembered the words. "At this moment, Mrs. Courtney, you are probably one of the wealthiest women in the world." She thought,
"I would give it all, every single diamond in the honey mine, for the right to love a man and have him love me, for the chance to have both my babies, both my sons, forever at my side."
She crushed down the thought angrily.
"Those are the woolly sentimental notions of a weak and cowardly woman. You are sick and weary. You will sleep now," she told herself harshly. "And tomorrow," she closed her eyes, "you will be brave again. Tomorrow."